How many of you still remember songs from your childhood? And you just hear a couple bars of the song and you know it already. You know, sometimes it's just a jingle from TV or on the radio, something. But your childhood songs, they just, you hear a couple bars and you start humming the rest of the tune. Or you're singing a song and you don't know, if somebody asked you the words of the song, you couldn't say the words to save your life, but you start singing the song and one word flows after the other. I don't know what the words are, but I sing it, kind of. I'm not going to sing this morning. I know you all praise God. But we need to remember that Scripture is made up of different types of literature, some of which is poetry and song. And this part, this prophetic section which we are reading this morning, is an allegory, it's poetry, and it's a song. Anybody remember, can you remember poetry, a rhyme? Anybody ever have to memorize a poem for school? Okay. And how could you memorize it? Well, usually there's a rhythm to it. Rhythm helps us learn. Even those of us who don't have any rhythm, you know. That's why I don't clap when we sing. You know, I can't do both at the same time. But when we have something that is presented like this, we have to ask ourselves one of the reasons. Why? Possibly because God is attempting to speak to us on multiple levels. There are some songs that I hear just cause me to melt. Other songs that pump me up. There's some songs that have various kind of mixed messages to me. When I was just called in the ministry, I hadn't gone back to school yet, and I was being a disobedient, and so God shattered my leg and put me in the hospital. And I'm in the hospital with my leg shattered just 24 hours later, and a friend of mine brings me a cassette tape. So you know this is a long time ago. And they bring this cassette tape to me of a group called DeGarmo and Key. Now, you know, you younger people don't have a clue who that is, but some of the older people may recognize them. They were a Christian group and actually quite good. And they had a song, and this cassette was called Boycott Hell. Okay? Now, I am laying in the hospital in extreme pain, agony. And he gives me this tape. I said, oh, great, I love this group. I put it in, I hit play, and I go, and shut off. Because the beat on this thing was, boycott! And I'm like, I said, I want Jesus Loves Me right now. Okay? Jesus, you know, I told you I wouldn't sing, I shouldn't lie. Okay. You know, I wanted that childhood memory of being loved and comforted. Instead, I was getting this driving message of, you know, we're not going to let anybody go to hell. Now, just a few months later, I remember being in the van. I still had a shattered leg, but now I'm driving the chase vehicle for our motorcycle ministry, and because I can do that and still work on crutches. And I've got a nice speaker system in this thing, and I've got the windows open and the volume turned up as loud as it was go, just cranking down the highway going, yeah! So songs will affect us in different ways at different times, but they drive home a message that is deeper than just the surface. So this morning, as we read this passage, I want you to remember that this is actually a song and it's supposed to be sung, just as Peggy sang it this morning. Now, she didn't sing this, it was something which another group wrote, but it used much of the very scripture itself in its words and the sense that it brings. So just let's read this passage, Isaiah chapter 5, starting with the first one. It says, I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated. And briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice and saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for this song. Lord, might it indeed sing in our hearts and our minds and be planted therein. Lord, help us to understand this allegory. Help us to understand the lesson that you are seeking us to learn this morning. Lord, show us how your word is to touch our lives. Father, I pray that as I preach this morning, your Holy Spirit would be upon me in power, that I would have your anointing. Lord, I pray that you would prepare each person here to hear from you, and that you would speak to them directly and encourage them and bless them. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I mentioned that it's an allegory. An allegory is when you talk about one thing to describe something else. Now, we're actually told who this allegory represents. It says, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the garden and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. So, this is not about a vineyard. This is about God's people. He's trying to tell a story so that people would understand and empathize, because they're not getting it. Okay? He keeps telling them, but they don't get it. Now, this is not a new phenomenon. This is a very old phenomenon. In fact, we still have songs about this type of phenomenon yet today. Now, I've got a video that I'm going to show you, which is a short clip from YouTube of another song from the days of my youth. Some of you might recognize this. Go ahead, you want to play that, Mike? And please listen to the words. Close your eyes. There's just a picture of guitar throughout.
I feel a trembling tingle of a sleepless night creep through my fingers, and the moon is bright. Beams of blue come flickering through my window pane, like gypsy moths that dance around a candle flame. And I wonder if you know that I never understood that although you said you'd go until you did, I never thought you would. today the contours of your face. Wild chestnut hair fell all around the pillowcase. And the fragrance of your flowers rest beneath my head. A sympathy bouquet left with a love that's dead. And I wonder if you know that I never understood that although you said you'd go until you did, I never thought you would. Never thought the words you said were true. Never thought you said just what you meant. Never knew how much I needed you. Never thought you'd leave until you went. Morning comes and morning goes with no regret. Brings the memories I can't forget. Empty rooms that echo as I climb the stairs. And empty clothes that drape and fall on empty chairs. And I wonder if you know that I never understood that although you said until you did, I never thought you would.
The answer to the refrain is yes, God knows. Again, the refrain is, I wonder if you know that I never understood that although you said you'd go until you did, I never thought you would. God knows that that's the way we act all the time. And what, well, I didn't think you really meant it. Now, I'm going to pick on Ruth because she's not here. But a year ago or so, Pastor John had made a deal with her youngest son, Andy, to help him buy a truck. Now, Andy worked for John in one of the businesses that he owns. So, and John had been working with Andy over years as, in youth ministry. He'd been one of the guys that had been a counselor to him and mentor. So he went to Ruth and he said, Ruth, how about if I help Andy buy a truck? She said, okay. Then Andy came home with a truck and she's like, what's this? And she was mad. And John said, well, you know, she called him up and it hang up on him. Finally, he said, Ruth, what's the problem? Well, I never thought you'd actually do it. Okay? There is lies. When God says he's going to do something, he means it. The issue is that we go, oh no, he can't mean that. I never thought that he'd really do that. But it is. Exactly. Never thought the words you said were true. Never thought you said just what you meant. Never knew how much I needed you. Never thought you'd leave until you went. I mean, this really describes a lot of the relationship that God's people have with God. Now, you say, Pastor, that's interesting, but Don McLean is in Scripture. No, it's not. But what I'm showing is this is a way that people are that continues that today, and we find it even in songs today. And I wanted to use a song to help illustrate and to work with today's song. God wrote this song through the prophet Isaiah to try to drive home a message that he's been trying to drive home through different types of communication time and time again. He's shown them. He has had the prophets speak different prophecies. He's used other groups as examples. He used poems. Now, this is a poem. In some of the early parts, some of the poetry there, we don't see it in the English translation, but a lot of the prophecy in Isaiah is indeed done in a poetic fashion, according to the styles of the Hebrew language at that time. That meant that the words just kind of flowed, and it was easier for people to memorize. And one led to the next. Now, he has this song about the vineyard. He said, I love my vineyard. I put it on a fertile hillside. I took care of it. I put this wall around it. I built a tower to watch it. Why do you need a tower over a vineyard? I mean, come on. You put a tower around your head. You got a tower next to your garden? I mean, you got a really nice garden. Have you anybody seen Ed's garden? His tomato plants are like this tall. He's got serious tomato plants. He's got Jurassic Park style kale. And zucchini and cucumbers. He's got a great garden. You got a watchtower? An alarm system? You got a fence? Don't you love your garden? I mean, you're in it all the time. I mean, you got a llama poop group, for goodness sakes. I mean, the garden's okay. It's not what drives Ed. But God loves the vineyard. He did everything he could to protect the vineyard. He built a wall around it, a hedge of protection. He put a tower, a watchtower. What good's a watchtower without somebody in there to watch? So I'm sure he put somebody in the watchtower. And he planted it, put in good vines, good seed crop. You got to have good stock, otherwise what you're going to grow is not very good stuff. So he put the best in. It was fertile ground. And yet, when it came time to get a crop, what did he get? Yuck. When he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Ouch. Now, I love my boys. My boys know that I love them. And they have no doubt that I love them. Yet there are times when they doubted when I had told them that there would be a consequence until the consequence fell. And that had to happen enough times till they finally came to the point where they knew beyond a doubt that if I said it was so, it was going to be so. That if I said, you do this, this is going to happen. They no longer question that. They know it. And God is trying to drive that home with his people. Saying, trying to discipline them to correct their wrong behavior. Because their wrong behavior is leading them down the wrong path, leading them away from him. See, he was looking for, what do we have here? Righteousness He heard nothing but cries of distress. He wanted for justice, and what he saw was bloodshed. And God says that if this is what my people produce, I'm going to make you a wasteland, because I won't put up with it. Now, some people say, yeah, right. It's only until you've done it enough times till you begin to believe that, yeah, what they say is what they mean. That has to be a learned response, because most of us just go, you don't mean that. But God's trying to drive home here that He does mean it. He has the prophecy, and it does what He says is going to happen, does happen. It does later occur that His people, the people of Israel, the men of Judah, they are laid waste. Why? Again, it was because of bad fruit. So here we have the Song of the Vineyard, an allegory of God's love, which is laying out clearly. He's doing all He can on behalf of His vineyard. His vineyard is His people. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you is God's people. You is the vineyard. You are. Okay? That's you. That's me. He has done everything He can for us. But it is yet up to us to see to it that we produce good fruit. Because He is indeed warning us emphatically that if we don't produce good fruit, He's going to remove us from the board. I don't know about you. I don't like that concept of having, of being laid waste to. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars or thorns will go there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. I like God's blessing. The clouds rain on it is one example of God's blessing to the world. Even those who don't know and believe Him, they still receive the blessing of rain from heaven, gravity to keep us, food that grows, sunlight and sunshine to drive photosynthesis that causes the plants to grow, that produce fruit, that allows us to have something to eat. We got, this is all God's blessing, and He's going to remove His blessing if we don't produce. Now it's not work-based salvation that I'm talking about here, but it's God is saying that if you aren't producing good stuff, you're really not mine. God is doing everything He can for us. We need to take advantage of that. We need to be producing good fruit in our lives by not working against God, but working with God. This is the cautionary tale in this song. And it is a song. It's written to drive deeper than just our mind. It's supposed to be in our heart and in our emotions, because that's what song kind of evokes, is emotion. This morning in Sunday school class, we were talking about emotion, in particular the emotion of love. But, Pastor, you say love is selfless, loyal, benevolent, concern for the well-being of another person. That doesn't sound very emotive. Sounds very much like a decision. But it is, if If I am selfless and loyal and benevolent towards somebody, it is going to evoke within me emotion. And it is going to evoke in the recipient emotion. Emotion is there. It's part of who we are. And this passage was written as a song to evoke within us the emotion of, I don't want that. I want what it is God wants me to be. Why do they write patriotic songs? Why do we have a national anthem? Because we know that songs get the heart stirring, get people... God is trying to get your attention, my attention. This song this morning of God's Word is that we are to judge ourselves. He says, now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. Then he tells them, oh, guess what? You are the vineyard. Who used this thing? Oh, the same style of argument. Nathan with King David talked about some guy who lost, who had a whole bunch of sheep and went and stole one other person's single, they only had one little lammy, and somebody went, and neighbor went, and rich neighbor went and stole the one person's one little lamb so that he could feed a guest, even though he had plenty of his own. And David was all in an uproar. How can you do such a thing? That man must be punished. Oh, Nathan turns around and points, guess what? You're the guy when you stole Bathsheba, you stole the one sheep. Oops. This is the same argument that's being brought here. The people are being told, oh, take a look at yourself. It's time for self-reflection. Look at our lives. Look at our church. Look at us as a people, the nation. One of the things that was mentioned today in Sunday school class, was mentioned that not everybody's real excited about our nation right now. You know, we're kind of falling apart. Why? Because we're not doing self-reflection and looking at our lives and the way we're doing things and comparing it to the way God wants us to do things and what God wants, desires for us. God is putting things in place so that we can be bountiful and have good fruit. If we do things according to His will, in His direction, His timing, in His power. See the His there? If we do it according to Him, then things work out well. It's when we try to do things and go it on our own that we run into problems. And this was the problem of the people of Israel. Why? Because they didn't believe when God said, remember they had the covenant. And it said, if you do this, I bless you. If you do this, I bring a curse upon you. And this judgment is going to come. Oh, He won't do it. He loves us. No, He will do it because He loves you. He will do it to us, to you, to me, just as He did to the people of Israel. He will bring His judgment in order to bring a change in our action. Now, I don't know about you, but as a child, I never enjoyed spankings. But you know what? They did get my attention. And I did change afterwards. Because the spanking wasn't a beating. It wasn't, I got hit because my dad was mad. In fact, my dad didn't hit me when he was mad. I always waited until afterwards. But he did do so to bring correction so that it would be embedded in my mind that when I say it, I mean it. When I say I'm going to bring consequence to your action, you best believe it. People, we best believe God when He tells us there is consequence to our action. The blessing is, we don't have to have the consequence. If we do the self-reflection, we can instead have the blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you indeed do love us, and you have tried very hard to make that known to us. Lord, you have shown us in your overall blessing of the world, and in your particular blessing in each of our lives. Lord, if any one of us was to lift up our eyes to you right now and just start counting the various ways that you have blessed us today, Lord, we would probably not be able to stop counting before we hit the end of the day. Father, help us to look to you for our guidance and direction. Lord, might we believe what you said, that you mean it and you will do it, because you do love us, because you do want what's best, and you will not settle for less. So Father, help us to not settle for less either, or to seek anything other than what is best. Might we seek you in all things. Help us, Lord, to examine ourselves and then follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.